Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we pray you have been blessed, that you have received a teaching, an instruction, a revelation, encouragement. And so today we're going to be bringing another great message to you. It's part two in our series on death, what happens to us after we die. Where do you go? What do you do? How do you get to where you want to go? And all those issues surrounding death. And so we thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the radio station, for you, the listener, for the prayers, the provision. And most of all, we thank the Lord for His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take up this message. Stay tuned here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Again, we thank you for tuning in today. Before we get into the message on death and where do we go when we die, we want to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today. And it's been wet and rainy the last few days, so we're starting into the short rain season. And this is the second season we have in Kenya where you can actually plant two crops of maize here, two crops of beans, and it's really, you can grow year-round if you have water. And so we're thanking the Lord for the rains that are now coming, and we'll be planting our second crop of maize here in a week or two. So we have a big group of children at the children's home, about 25 to 30 children there. They're all in school for another couple of weeks, and they'll be out for the summer break, they call it, the last part of August, summer break. Then they'll be going back in about the 1st of September until December, and that'll be the end of this school year. So we appreciate your support, your prayers. We're praying about building a school. We have an acre of land, a big acre, but we need more before we get started. I'd like to add another acre to it. And so pray about that, if that would be something you could help support. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you'll find contact information to help you to support this ministry and the projects that we have going in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about part two in our series on death. Where do you go after you die? What do you do? How do you get to where you're going? Are you saved? That's the number one question about your death. Are you saved? Do you have assurance that you are saved? Do you have assurance that you know that you know that you know on the day after you die, or actually the moment after you die, or the second after you die, that you will be escorted to heaven by the angels of the Lord the moment that you die? If you are saved, if you are born again, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that will be your reality. And if you ask many people on the street, even professing Christians, where do they want to go after they die, most all of them will say, well, I want to be in heaven, because that's what I've always heard, is that that's the place of joy, that's the place where there is no sorrow, there is no pain, there is no more striving, no more strife. And so just about everybody will tell you, yes, I want to go to heaven. And then if you ask them, how do you get to heaven? Most of them will give you some kind of answer like, well, I've got to be a good person. I've got to do enough good things to overweigh or to counterbalance the bad things that I've done in my life, all the lies that I've told, and the cheating, and whatever other sins. Some people are murderers, some people are thieves, and so people think that they have to work their way to heaven. Well, we've talked about this many times before, but the way to get to heaven is through your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:10, the Apostle Paul says, with your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And so your confession of faith in Jesus Christ is your ticket to heaven. That's the way you get there. You have to confess before men, not just in a silent place or a quiet place. You have to confess before men, because your confession is important to men, it's important to those around you, and it's also important to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you confess him, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. So you have to confess. You have to confess before men. You have to say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you were raised from the dead and that you are seated at the right hand of your Father. And so that is the confession of faith. That is the confession that opens up the door for us to get into heaven. And you will then be with the saints of old. You will be with your family who have confessed Jesus. You will be with the saints of old, the Apostle Paul and Peter and James, John, Moses, King David. You will see all of them in heaven when you get there. Well, turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 16, and we're going to talk about the condemnation that we live under here on this earth if we are not saved, and how that condemnation is lifted off of you as you make your confession of faith, as you enter into salvation in Christ Jesus. That condemnation is lifted off of you, and then you have the assurance, you know, and you have that peace. You know that you are going to be in heaven and you are saved from that point on, as long as you continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let me say, beloved, that is God's will for every single man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, here in Africa, here in the United States of America, here in South America, Asia, China, wherever people are. That is God's will. That is his perfect plan for them. For God so loved the world, every single person is created in God's image, and they are created to know God. They're created to worship God. They're created to love God. And so it doesn't matter. You say, well, what about the Hindus? What about the Buddhists? What about the Muslims? That is also God's plan for those people. Doesn't matter where they are. God has revealed himself to them. He has given enough information to them that they can know God regardless of what their culture has taught them, or what their grandparents thought, or their parents thought, or what their culture teaches in terms of religion. God gives enough information. Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it tells us that the invisible attributes of God are known by his creation. In other words, you can see in God's creation enough about God to understand and know him and know his invisible attributes. And so people are without excuse, it tells us in that verse 20. People are without excuse. So God provides information. He reveals himself to people in dreams and in visions, and also through the creation itself. The glory of God is revealed through creation. The heavens speak of his glory, and so we know that God has shown himself to all people, and so no one has an excuse to reject God. So back to John 3 and verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so this is the reason Jesus came. This is the reason Jesus went to the cross. This is the reason Jesus lived as a man. He was called the Son of Man. He was also called the Son of God, but he was living as a man. He bled man's blood, although it was perfect, precious blood. He bled man's blood on the cross and at the whipping post. And so the reason God sent his Son was for the plan of redemption to be carried out, so that you and I could have our sins washed away. And then as we stand before God, our righteousness then resembles Jesus Christ. He who became sin, Jesus Christ, became sin on our behalf, that we could have the righteousness of God. And so when we stand before God, then we are standing before God with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we have been cleansed by his blood. And so we no longer then have the baggage of sin. We no longer have the condemnation of sin and the curse of sin to keep us separated away from God. And so in verse 18 then, John goes on to say, he who believes in him, he who believes in Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so if you have never confessed Jesus, you're still in that place of condemnation, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is condemned because of sin. When Adam fell, when Eve fell, and they rejected God's word and God's plan for their life, when they fell, then the whole world since then has lived under the curse of the evil one. It's lived under the curse because people then became separated from God by their sin. And so verse 18 again, he who believes in him is not condemned. And so the moment that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that condemnation is removed from you. Praise God for that. That condemnation is removed from you. You are then written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And because of that, you stand before God from that point on. If you die, and even here on this earth, you walk before God in glory. You walk before God under a heavenly canopy, under a heavenly tent, you might say, a heavenly opening. And so you are then no longer condemned. But those who do not believe in the only begotten Son of God continue to walk in condemnation. They continue to be separated from God. And so that is the reason why you need to confess the Lord. If you've never confessed him, you need to do it. Find some people in a church. Find some people that you can confess to. And then follow it up with Christian baptism. And then you will know that you will know that you will know that you are saved. You will have that peace that passes all understanding. You will have that blessed assurance. And so that is God's plan for you. Well, John goes on to say in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. He's talking about Jesus Christ there, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In other words, the light came, the light showed himself to people. But people have a choice to make. They can either choose to follow the light, they can choose to receive the light into their life and expose the sin in their life, expose the darkness in their life. But it says that loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Well, the sad reality of it is that walking with the devil is sometimes exciting at times, and it is sometimes fun, and it is sometimes interesting. And dabbling with the devil in witchcraft and occult and drinking and partying, eat, drink, and be merry, is sometimes for a season fun. And the devil comes to us as an angel of light, and the devil comes to us and promises us lots of fame and fortune, and many people fall to it. Many people get deceived and follow the devil. Even celebrities sell their soul and sell their heart to the devil, and in trade for that, they get fame, they get fortune, they get a big following on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But beloved, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I tell you, the peace that you will have that passes all understanding, that peace will be beyond anything the devil can give you, anything the devil can provide for you. And so you accept Jesus, and then you will know that you are in that place of righteousness. You're in that place of blessing from the Lord. And so those that practice evil, they choose to do that. They choose to do that. And the reason you can know that is because you can go into the prison and you can hear many, many testimonies night after night of people that chose evil on the outside, and then God stopped them, God shook them, and they ended up in prison and took them away from their drugs, took them away from their alcohol, took them away from their life of stealing or fornication or whatever they were doing. He stopped them. He stopped their world and put them in a prison. And they now, because God shook them and stopped them, now they choose to receive Jesus Christ. They choose to receive and to believe what the Lord says about them and the joy that they have in knowing the Lord. And so that testimony, you hear it over and over and over. You understand that God gives us a choice to either choose Him or choose evil. And because His Word will pierce their heart, the Holy Spirit will pierce their heart, and they will have to make a choice at some point in their life. Well, verse 21 here, we'll close up in this passage of John. But he who does the truth, or lives in the truth, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so when you start to live with the Lord, you want to do good deeds, you want to do things that bring glory and honor to your Father and to Jesus Christ. And so your deeds, when you live in the life of truth, when you're living the life of truth and you're living it in the light, then your deeds are righteous, your deeds are holy, you want to serve and please your Father. And so that is the point at which you know you are saved. Well, John 3:36, that same chapter, John the Baptist said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Well, that's a reference to hell right there. The wrath of God abides on him. That wrath goes on for all eternity. And beloved, that is not where you want to be. That is not where you want to spend your eternal life. And you don't want to spend your life here on this earth either, living in the deeds of darkness. And so you come to the light. You let the Lord expose your darkness in your life, the evil in your life. You confess your sins, repent of your sins, and you turn to the Lord and you serve Him, and you will be blessed beyond measure. Well, I want to go now to Matthew 13, the parable of the tares. And this is a great parable talking about what happens after we die. And in verse 24, Matthew 13, Jesus said another parable that Jesus put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And verse 28, and he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather up the tares?' And he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. And let them grow together,'" verse 30, "'let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And so this is the parable of the tares that were sown into the field along with the good seed. And so Jesus gives an explanation of this, and this is a picture of the earth and the people on the earth that the Lord is giving us to show how at the end of the age, the tares then are made accountable for who they are, what they are, and the good seed then is put into the barn. Well, Jesus in verse 37 he gives an explanation, because these parables sometimes, although they're simple stories, people didn't always understand the interpretation of them. And so in verse 37, then Jesus goes on to interpret the parable of the tares for the people who were listening. Verse 37, he answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." And it can also be a preacher, can be a pastor, can be somebody with a radio broadcast, a television broadcast, whoever is speaking that good seed, speaking that good word of God over people's lives. And this is the reason why we do the radio broadcast, and we ask you to support this radio broadcast. Many people listen to this broadcast, and people in the prison listen to it. People in Northwest Kansas listen to it. People across the earth listen to it, because we put these messages on the internet, on my website, and so people all over the earth can hear these messages. So the good seed gets planted in people's heart. That good seed gets scattered all over the earth. I don't know who's listening today, but I know there are people listening. I know there are many people here in this town listening, and people in other places. And so the good seed gets scattered, and you just have to trust the Lord by faith that enough people are listening, that even if one comes to know the Lord, even if one receives revelation and seeks the Lord because of that, that it's worth the time, it's worth the effort, it's worth the money. And so that is the step of faith that I've taken now for 18 years, to scatter the good seed, or to plant the good seed into people's heart. And then verse 38, Jesus said, "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one." And so the tares are then planted into the good seed, because the devil is always trying to steal that good seed. He's always trying to steal the word of God that has been planted in your life. The devil will always try to disrupt your life with the Lord. He'll always try to wreck your destiny and take your destiny, and to discourage you and depress you and get you to reject God. And so the devil is always working overtime. He never takes a day off. He doesn't go on vacation. He's always coming against you. He's coming against your family. He's coming against your marriage. And he will try to get you to get to a place of discouragement, where you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't accept what the Lord has spoken over your life. And so the tares are the sons of the wicked one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The devil is the enemy of your soul. The devil is the enemy of all the kingdom of God. He's the enemy of the church. He's the enemy of God's family. He's the enemy of our government. And so this devil is, as I said, he is busy. He is active. He never takes a day off, and he will continue to come against you. And even after you accept the Lord, even after you come to know the Lord, the enemy even will be even more active then, because he wants to disrupt you and take you away from not only your earthly peace, but also your heavenly home. So the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the helpers are God's angels. And so the harvest is when the Lord takes the church out at the rapture. That's the harvest. And even after that, there's a tribulation, and there will be some people saved in the great tribulation. And so the harvest then comes at the end of the age. The helpers are those angels of the Lord. Hebrews 1:14 says, "What are the angels but ministering spirits sent out for those who inherit salvation?" And so the Lord has his angel army. He has warring angels. He has healing angels. He has angels to minister to him in heaven and at the throne room. He has angels to minister to people here on the earth. And he has archangels. And so this is God's army. The captain of the Lord's army is Jesus Christ himself. The captain of the Lord of hosts is Jesus Christ. And so these are the helpers of the Lord to bring people salvation. And then in verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered, that is, the evil ones are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so I pray that you have ears to hear today. Twice Jesus talks about that those tares will be in places of eternal fire. He will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's in verse 42. And in verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Well, people say they don't believe in hell. They don't believe God would send people to hell. They don't believe a righteous, loving God would send people to hell. Well, there's two references right there to burning in eternal fire. So God doesn't send people actually to hell. People choose that for themselves because their deeds are evil, and they choose their evil deeds over the light of the kingdom of our loving Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, you don't want to end up in that place where there's eternal fire. You don't want to end up in that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so you can avoid that. Even more than that, more than avoidance, you can embrace and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today. Have your sins washed away, and you will then be walking in righteousness. The righteousness of God will be available to you. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise God for this day. We thank the Lord for you, the listener. We'd love to hear from you. Help us keep these radio broadcasts coming on this station for many more years. Help us with the projects in Africa to plant the seeds in the hearts of people over here in Africa. You can do that today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, include if you have prayer requests, and we would be happy to hear from you today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.